Your Bibles, if you would please, today and open up to Exodus chapter number 5 in the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 5 in the Word of God today. And as you find Exodus chapter number 5, and maybe again you're here with us and you don't have a Bible, that's quite all right. You can share with somebody beside you, and or I'm going to read this passage of Scripture here in just a moment. But would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Exodus and chapter number 5. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled Heroes of the Faith. And we've been looking at different men and different women in the Bible. And over the next several months, we're going to dive into each of these characters' lives. And what I love about these characters is that they are men and women just like you and I. I think at times we think that these men and women of the Bible, boy, they were just a notch above everybody else, and they lived these perfect lives, and that's why they're preserved over thousands of years in the Bible. But honestly, when you begin to dig into it, it's just men and women who lived ordinary lives, who gave their lives to Jesus, and is really used in a great way. One of those characters is a man by the name of Moses. And over the last several weeks now, we've been looking at this man's life, the story of Moses. And we're going to find here in this next kind of part of this series, part 5, we're going to be looking at God's design. God's design. And so I want us to look at Exodus chapter 5. Would you please follow along as I read? Just going to read verse number 1 this morning for us. Verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 5, the Bible says this. And afterward, Moses and Aaron being Moses' brother, went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." For the next couple of moments, I want us just to tune in and be thinking about really these two words. Now, I've asked the men just to go ahead and forgo our PowerPoint this morning since it's only one screen. And man, with me, I got to have both. And so we're just going to forgo those for a little bit. But we can tune in. And I want us to think about two words, God's design. God's design. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, I ask that You would lead and You would guide and You would direct. Father, as only You can. Lord, we're not here for a show today. God, we're not here to be entertained. Lord, we're here for one purpose, and that is You. Lord, we ask that You would be exalted, that, Father, we would look and see You and feel You today. That, Lord, where our hearts seem to be encouraged, they would be. But, Lord, if there's one here that needs conviction, I ask that Your conviction would be here. Father, as we think about this and ponder Your design for our lives, Lord, I ask that we would ask this question. Where am I going to spend eternity? What comes after this? Possibly even ask the question, God, why am I here? Why am I on this earth? Father, as we look at Your Word, may it become abundantly clear Your design for our lives. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the last several weeks, as we've been looking at this character, this man by the name of Moses, we saw, first of all, that God used Moses, his parents, in a great way. His mother hid him for several months when he was a child, when there was this wicked law in the land there in Egypt that all of these Hebrew children had to be murdered. They had to be killed. And how his mother stepped out by faith and hid him, and how that really early type of faith that came from his mom made a big impact on his life and his upbringing. Then we begin to see how Moses, by faith, stepped out and really wanted to be called more like his brothers and wanted to associate more with his people, and how he stepped out, as we saw in the book of Hebrews, by faith, and forsook it all, and now is working on the backside of a desert for his father-in-law. While he's on the backside of this desert for 40 years, keeping and attending the sheep, God begins to talk to him in really a remarkable way. He begins to speak to Moses through a bush that is not consumed by fire, but this fire bush begins to talk to Moses and begins to give Moses the plan that God had for his people to bring them out of bondage, out of this land that Pharaoh is ruling and reigning over. this shocking call that came to Moses' life, but then we begin to see this shy response. Moses saying, I can't do this. Last week we saw all of these excuses, excuse after excuse of I can't do this and I'm not qualified. Maybe it's somebody else that can do this job and there's no way I can go through with this. But yet how God came in and every step of the way began to reassure Moses, hey, look, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. And now Moses has this staff and Moses has his brother to be a spokesman for him. And they enter in and as they enter into finally with other elders that God had commanded to be there with them. And chapter number 4, Moses finally gets his opportunity. And everything that we've been learning leads up to this point. And now Moses has his opportunity, Aaron being there, and they are going to speak to Pharaoh. And verse number 1 says that they went in and they said this, look, here is what God said. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Picture the scene within the royal palace there at Egypt. And there's sat king, this king, King Pharaoh, upon his throne. What a magnificent sight it must have been. It must have been incredible. It must have been, to be honest with you, very nerve-wracking for Moses and Aaron. Here they are, and they step up. Why would it have been nerve-wracking for them? Well, it would have been very nervous standing there because Moses is simply a shepherd and Aaron is simply a slave. And these elders are there and they didn't have any clout there. It's not that everybody's going to sit there and, oh, look who it is. Wow, can you look at these dignitaries? Look at these politicians. Wow, boy, I'm here to tell you. No, understand, they're not selling these tables for $500 for everybody to be with Moses and Aaron. They hardly knew who they were, and yet Pharaoh gives them an audience and they walk in and here they are before this most powerful man and they give this declaration of God's will. They give this declaration that God wanted his people to be free. He wanted his people to be free to go in and to worship the way that God wanted to be worshiped. And yet here we find this man, Pharaoh, and he's listening to them, and this just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Now, before we move on the story, we have to put this in there, and I want us to all think about this for a moment. God's first declaration was that he wanted his people to be free. Comprehend today, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. God's will for his people has never changed. God's will for you and I living in October 31st. Oh, today's Halloween. Yeah, I just thought about that. October 31st of 2021, that God wants you and I to live free lives. God's will for us is not to become a Christian so that we're just steeped in all of these rules and these regulations. And boy, we're so tied down. No, comprehend that God's will for his people has always been that they live free, in freedom from bondage. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 2 says, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to me. He has sent me, watch now, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound. Paul said it like this in the book of Galatians. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for they are all one under Jesus Christ. Peter said it like this, as free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. This is God's design. God's design for you and for me is that we live these free lives. And yet, isn't it amazing in the day and age that you and I live, in the day and age of this culture and this society, it is so amazing to me that God has given you and I what we need to be free, and yet we live our lives chasing everything else. We live our entire lives chasing something that, to be honest with you, at the end is nothing. The book of Ecclesiastes says it like this. It says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. That word vanity, our English language, means it's nothing. We live our lives for something, and yet when we get to the end, it's really amazing, it's nothing. Carrie and I grew up in the South, North Carolina, Alabama, and my wife. Carrie, I was looking for you earlier. My wife, is she in here? Carrie, where are you at? Oh, there you are. Okay. Sit back there at the video. Carrie, would you stand up for just a moment? We have some visitors in here today. Carrie and I got married, and boy, it's been rainbows, butterflies, happily ever after. That's my girl right there. And so we get married, and we're 10 years in West Virginia. I'm pastoring there. And then, Carrie, God called our family to California. I think you remember this well. I just want to get where you're sitting. Thank you so much. I need. Sometimes I look at my wife to help me out. Like, if I start to exaggerate or something, she'll give me this. Like, no, that's not the story. Or if I'm going a little bit too long, she kind of does this number. We got the whole sign language thing down. But nonetheless, Carrie, you remember we moved to California, and we got to California, and our lives were upside down. And my goodness, I took a position at a university there, West Coast Baptist College, and I'm working on the faculty. And when we finally decided, we just got to get away. Carrie, we got to get away for a little bit. So we did. Carrie said, hey, 40 minutes away is Six Flags. You know Six Flags. And it's where a kid can go, and the kids can be, all the other kids are in school. And so let's take our kids out. Let's just go down to Six Flags. Like, that's a girl. It's a great idea. Let's get down there to Six Flags, and we're going to have the whole park to ourselves. Everybody else is in school. We have the whole park. This is good for our kids. And my wife's telling me, this is, honey, our kids need this. Like, we need a break. You've been going for the last 7 weeks, and we're buying a house. We're building a house. We're doing this. You're busy. Let's go to Six Flags. So we did. We packed the kids up. We drove that 45-minute drive. We get there, and I didn't know this, but it was like public school day at Six Flags. And we pulled up, and this is no exaggeration, Carrie. It had to be like 50, 60, 70, 1,000 public school buses just lined up. It's packed out. We're talking tons and tons of school buses pulling in. I said, Carrie, I'm just telling you right now, I am not doing this. I'm not waiting all day in line. We are not going to this. She said, honey, we drove all the way here. Our kids are excited. We are going to Six Flags. I said, girl, I wear the pants of this family. I'm in control. We are not going to Six Flags. She just looked at me. I said, I think we'll go to Six Flags today. So we all get in there, and we get in line, and man, it's packed out. And have you ever done this? Maybe it's not just me, but have you ever been one of those instances where you just know you're right, and we get up there, and there's all these people, and our kids are there, and you're just like, oh, it sure is hot. Boy, we could be somewhere else right now. And there's my wife. She's got the stroller with our twins in it. But we're just kind of, whoo, it's this nerve-wracking little ice chips there for a little bit, but we're waiting in line with all these kids. And to be honest with you, our kids were being so good. I mean, were they not care? They were in line. They were so excited. We're waiting to get in, and we got to get up there to be able to get into the park. And so here we are. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. And I'm telling you, our kids were doing good. They're waiting in line. They're not whining. They're not complaining. They're waiting for us to get our tickets. Everything was going very good until, true story, our kids saw this oversized, massive, somebody on the inside of this thing, Tweety Bird, come out on the other side of the gates. Now, how many know what Tweety Bird is? Would you raise your hand? You know what Tweety Bird is? It's really sad that the younger generations don't know who Tweety Bird is. We're going to pray for them. But Tweety Bird came out, and our twins, without even thinking, jumped out of their stroller and start running through these crowds. They get up to where the security is, and I'm sitting there having an absolute heart attack. How many, when you get nervous, you start to sweat, you know what I mean? And that's how I am. Like, whoa, man, I am sweating like crazy. My kids just took off. I look at Carrie. She looks at me. I'm thinking, well, here we go. I got to go get them. So they are running through. I mean, there's two of them at this time. They're about 4 years old. They're going through everybody. So now I've got to make my way through several hundred people, and everybody's staring at me, and I'm making my way through. I'm so sorry. Let me get through here. Man, they're talking another tongue. I mean, there's some foreign people there. I don't know what they're saying, but they are speaking in tongues, and it was not nice. I can assure you that. So as I'm getting close to them, I'm calling, hey, girls, they're going to listen to me. Girls, I don't want to yell. I want to be nice. I don't want social services called on me. So I'm like, girls, come here. And I don't have a loud whistle. How many mom and dad had a loud whistle? My mom mom had a whistle, you could hear over the neighborhood. I'm not that way. You know, it's just not working for me. And I'm sitting there, I'm whistling, I'm yelling, girls, come here, girls, we'll be there soon enough. Girls, just stop for a moment, just stop. Oh, girls, come here. And they're not. And I thought, okay, when they get up to the security, that's when they'll stop. They're going to get there and they can't go through those little things that you push and it twists and it takes your number. I thought, when they get there, somebody's going to stop. But oh no, they get up, those things just squeeze right through them. I'm still running, sweating. Everybody's talking another language to me. Finally, I get up to the security, and they're still running after Tweety Bird. Their eyes are on it. There's no stopping them. Finally, when I get up to the gate, security's staring at me, and I didn't have time to explain, like, you know, my girls, they already went through. I know I haven't paid you. I don't have a ticket, but you'll comprehend. I'll be right back. You know, it's just not going to work. I knew they were going to stop me. They were not going to let me get my girls, who are now in the park still running out of the stinking Tweety Bird. And so here I am. I get up, and I thought, there's only one way to do this. I am so sorry. They're going to tase me later. But I just went ahead, and I jumped right over that gate and took off running in the park. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to lose my job. My ministry is over because of Tweety Bird. Finally, true story, finally, I get up to Tweety Bird, and there's my twins. Now, you think at this point, they're hugging Tweety Bird, this big overstuffed, you know, fleece, probably that fleece, and it's so nasty. You think they'd be hugging it and all over it, and it's just a good family picture. No, I got up there, and you know what they were doing? They were crying. They were crying because when they got up there, it was scary, a little bit dirty, and really big. And begin to realize this is the fluffy, oversized nothing. And they're crying. In my inside, I'm like, yeah, that's right. You see that? You better cry. I'm going to make you cry. No, I'm just joking. You know what to do? I get up there, finally, I go back, get the kids. Say, Pastor, what's, okay, great story. Woo, wonderful, but why? As silly as it is for me to be chasing after kids, chasing a Tweety Bird, calling their name, we're gonna have a good time, we're gonna go on rides, I'm gonna treat you like kings and princesses today at Six Flags. They had to do it their way. And what they realized at the end was they were chasing nothing. And understand and comprehend this, friend, in our lives, that's what we do. We chase money and we chase fame and we chase the Tweety Birds that look big and fluffy and wonderful. And boy, if I could just get to it. Boy, if I could just make my way through the crowd. Boy, if I could just get to the end of my life and sit back, relax on a beach with a golf course. Boy, then I have arrived. And friend, let me tell you this. Although that sounds good and that sounds great, there are many that are chasing a big, fluffy, vanity nothing. And Solomon said, at the end of your life, you're going to realize what you lived for was nothing, friend. Go ahead and chase the corporate ladder. Chase the next dollar. Chase the 401k. Chase the happy life. Friend, I'm here to tell you, there are many that are living their life lost and saved, and by the time they get to the end of their life, by the time they finally arrived, they understand that it's big and fluffy and it looked great, but when you got there, it was absolutely nothing. It was just another step. It was just another dollar. It was just another job. It was just another marriage. It was just one step in this life. Meantime, here is the God of the universe in heaven, yelling out, hey, child, I got you. Child, stop. Child, look at me. Child, I'll treat you right. Child, I'll give you joy. Child, I'll give you pleasure. Child, I'll give you what you need to be sustained in this life. And here is a God in heaven, and he's crying out, and yet we've got our eyes on something that is nothing. Pharaoh looks at Moses, and he looks at Aaron. And once you look at verse number 2 with his response, he says, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Hey, guys, cool story. I got a rebuttal. Who's the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. You see, there's a rejection here of God's will. He responds with really maybe a sharp, cynical, perhaps even severe response. And it shows exactly how he failed at this utterly ridiculous, in his mind, request. Pharaoh, ignorant of God, ignorant of who he was. He didn't know who he was. He had no idea. Guys, look, shepherd. Look, servant. What's your names again? Oh, Moses, Aaron. Okay. I don't know. Who's God? And just go back and tell him, I'm not letting his people go. Now, comprehend, watch now. Many of Christians who have already been saved say the same thing. No, whoa, listen. Whoa, Pastor, I don't think that makes sense. No. Many Christians say, okay, I've been saved, got fire insurance, good to go. The rest is my life. Just God, I don't want to be mean. There's no proverbial fist in the air, but I'm telling you, that's okay. But comprehend, there are many who are lost who do the same thing. Many who will say, I just be honest with you, who's this God? Imagine this preacher. Imagine the audacity of someone, this church, this Bible. I mean, I imagine the audacity of someone telling me what to do or how to live my life. That's great and all, and that's good, and I'm glad I came to the trunk or treat, and I'm here today, but I'm just here to tell you, I don't know who your God is, and I don't know what he's trying to tell me, but you just go ahead and you go back and tell them, I'm just not interested. You just go ahead and tell them, I'm going to be okay without them, and without their church, without their people, and you just go ahead, God, you go ahead back, and you just tell them how I feel about this. Friend, as silly as, crazy as it was that we look at Pharaoh and say, my goodness, how could you not know who God is? You have millions that are enslaved that know his name. As crazy as it sounds that we'd say that, Pharaoh, you're going to go back and tell God? No thanks, I don't know who he is. You just go ahead and tell him. That's all right, I'm not going to let his people go. And the audacity that it takes to speak to God like that is the same audacity it takes for someone to walk in, especially in this country, in this day and age, in the Marion and surrounding area, where those who are letting the light shine and the gospel go forth, how crazy it must be to God that there are those that sit right, maybe even here today, that say, you know what, that's okay. I'm not sure about that. And so you go ahead and do your thing. And I'm not sure this Jesus is, but you know, I've done pretty good without him, and so I think I'm just going to be okay the rest of my life and eternity. Yeah, okay, let's think about it for a little bit. But to be honest with you, there's a lot of people out there that believe a lot of different things. And, you know, I've been on Google a lot. I've been in a church down the street, and I heard a dude on television say this once. And even on the radio, I kind of heard this. And so, to be honest, because there's just not, everyone's not cohesively together on this subject, I think I'm going to be okay. Well, let me help you out a little bit. You're not going to be okay. That's not Thomas Shepherd. Whoa, hold on. That's not, well, I knew it. It's the church. No, that's not Cross Point Baptist Church. That's not another pastor here or a deacon or a life group leader. No, comprehend. That is what the very Word of God says. The Word of God is telling you and I, without Jesus Christ, we are not okay. You see, when we think of, especially in this area, I mean, Brother George, you've been here for a long time. Many of you, you've grown up in this area. You comprehend, Brother Bryant, that there are many in this area that they know the terms. They know the term salvation. They know the word saved. They know the word baptism. They know the word church. Then they might even know some of the stories of Moses. And I saw a movie back in the 70s where, yeah, let my people go, and now he won't do it. So I separated some sea or something like that. Like, there are many people here that are knowledgeable, but it's not personal. And today you got to comprehend that it's a very personal salvation. Personal means this. It's towards us. The Bible puts it this way in the Word of God. It says in Proverbs 16 and verse number 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man's ways seem like, hey, this is right. Tweety Bird seems like a good idea. It's big, it's fluffy, it looks awesome, let's chase it. And the ways thereof are death. The Bible says this in Isaiah 43, I even am God, and besides me there is no Savior. Acts says there is neither salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Listen to this very carefully. There is none other name, no other, zero, none. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said it like this. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, Pastor, I don't understand. What do I have to believe on? No, it's not believing on something. It's believing in who, and that who is Jesus Christ. Salvation, friend, is not works. It's not a feeling. It's not by trying hard. It's not by putting money in an offering plate. It's not by baptism. It's not by good intentions. It's not by keeping the golden rule or the Ten Commandments. No, understand this. There is one name under heaven whereby all men must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, okay, that's good and great, but I've heard of a lot of other gods out there. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because in the very Word of God, there are over 8,500 in that biblical times, historically speaking, from Genesis to Malachi, there are around 8,500 false gods. Understand today, what separates all of the false gods from the true God? I'll tell you what it is. God sent his only begotten Son to this earth, and he died. There's a lot of people who have died. Well, I mean, I like this person. I think he could be a god because, well, he died. Yeah, but you got to comprehend, our God didn't stay in the grave, friend. No, no. When you go to these other graves, their bones are now probably dust. That's still going to be there. But the grave that Jesus Christ was buried in, he rose. He's not there. He's living. He lives forever, friend. In fact, don't take my word for it. Friend, I wasn't there. But the Bible says it like this. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says this, and Jesus answered and said, the first of all commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. Lord, that means this, you and I serve a risen Savior. He's risen. Song says, I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen, amen. I'm alive. I am alive because he lives. Let my song join the one that never ends. That means this, friend. It is a personal salvation. It's not for one person or for one group of people. No, that salvation is for everyone that is a visitor or a guest or grew up in this area or perhaps like me, grew up in the South. Doesn't matter, friend. Doesn't matter if you're white or black or Hispanic. It's a friend. This is a personal salvation. Check it out. It's for everybody. Amen. But this is what I love. Not only is it personal, it's a very life-changing salvation. It's life-changing. Now look, we've all, you ready for this? Nobody, there's not a person in here. It's like, oh, let's talk about the coronavirus. Nobody likes to talk about the coronavirus. If you do, you are weird and probably not my friend, because I just don't like talking about it. Everybody debating over it. We're all doctors all of a sudden. We're all Facebook police. But check it out for just a moment. You know, in the last year and a half, now almost 2 years, we've gone through a lot of change. A lot of change. Maybe some of us good. Doesn't seem like all of us good, though. When you have a life-changing biblical salvation, it's all good. It's all positive. There's nothing in our life that we say, well, oh, I got to get saved. I guess I'm going to have to give up. Give up what? Well, I heard that if you get saved, you know, from so-and-so, you got to give up this, you got to give up that. Friend, let me put it this way. When you get saved, you become a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, see us, you and I get to give up the heartache, and we get to give up the loneliness, and we get to give up the bitterness, and we get to give up the hard times, and we get to receive joy and peace that passeth all understanding. We get a pep in our step, and we get happiness in our heart, and we get joy, and we get a foundation. Not only that, we have a peace knowing that this world is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're simply passing through. We're here for a little while. And after this life is over, that is when life really begins. It's personal. It's life-changing. You know, it's also a very gracious salvation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean gracious? That means you and I really don't deserve it. But he gives it to us. Now I know we come to service like this. Oh my goodness, it's 11:37. We have a baptism. We gotta go. We gotta go. We got the restaurant. Look, Culver's is always open. Okay, it's gonna be there. I promise you. We got another one in Avon now. You're going to be okay. Now watch for just a moment. It's gracious in the fact that we didn't deserve it, but he still gives it to us. Friend, I want to help you out. Maybe you're here today. And you're sick of trying. We live in this TikTok, Instagram world where everybody's wanting to be the best. Everybody's wanting to be at the peak and the highest. And we all want followers. We all want likes. Sad thing is, I've had a YouTube channel before. I used to put all kinds of preaching on there. It's like, oh, 2 likes and about 30 views. My 8-year-old daughter at the time puts a video on YouTube, true story, puts a video on YouTube. Carrie, what are those things called with the dots? Fidgets. She records this fidget. Like, so what's a fidget, Pastor? Exactly. I mean, it's this little thing you push. It's ridiculous to even talk about. I'm not even going to explain it to you. She puts this fidget on, and she gets 46,000 views on YouTube. You think it's funny? I'm struggling here. I am struggling. My lighting is perfect. I make sure my voice is right. I set up my little coffee and get my Bible out with my little highlighters and sit there and welcome today. Okay, look, she gets on there, puts a fidget, and gets 46,000 views. Man, I got to get right with God over this thing. I'm here to tell you, we live in this world where we want the biggest and the best, and we want the most views, and we want, be my follower. Look. And maybe you're sitting here, and you're sick and tired of trying to be popular. Trying to be the best, the most athletic. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're tired of trying to be loved. This is not a group of people that has it all put together. So I said, in Indianapolis, somebody said to me, I don't go to that church because, you know, they're a bunch of full of hypocrites. And I'm not going to go to church where there's hypocrites. Then you're never going to go to church. You literally are never going to go to church. You know why? Because the Bible says, for all of sin, it comes short of the glory of God. In a group of unperfect people, there might be somebody in here today that says, Pastor, to be honest with you, this past week I thought about quitting it all. Just being done. If I committed suicide, would anybody even miss me? Would anyone even know that I am gone? Friend, I'm glad you're here today because I want to tell you something. You are loved. There is a God in heaven that loves you so much that he put in his word a familiar verse that we know almost by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God that sent his only son, that son was here and had a ministry. And after his ministry was done, he gave himself, put himself on a cross. They didn't take his life. He gave it. Why did he give it? For you and for me, friend. When he sat there with his arms stretched out on that tree, he knew you and I. He knew you and I. He had us in his mind thinking of October 31st, 2021, when you would walk in a place, and whether you've been here 1,000 times or maybe the first time today, he knew you would sit here and that the preacher would open up the Word of God and begin to explain not what man thinks, not a man's religion, not what we kind of do here, not what we hope or feel, Noah, but what the very Word of God says. And the Word of God says this, friend: you are loved. You are loved by a God in heaven, and that God in heaven is not some big, fake, fluffy Tweety Bird. No, friend, it's the real deal. It's the real thing. He lives today. He wants you to be a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, it's personal. Oh, it makes us different. It's a change, yes. But friend, understand this today. It's very gracious, and this gracious salvation is not like the people that are in your groups or in your little country club or in your neighborhood or part of your school system or college. No, there are going to be some people that make you feel tired and dirty and ashamed and unable to meet their expectations. But oh, how God makes you feel the opposite. God is madly in love with you. His love is not altered by who you are or where you've been or who you've been around. He wants you to drop your defenses, accept his embrace. He doesn't want you for what you can do. No, friend, he wants you for who you are. He wants you. Well, Pastor, that's good. That's great. Can we wrap this up? Sure, let's wrap it up. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, listen. Well, hold on. Pharaoh, you have a decision to make. Our God said, let our people go. Pharaoh says, I don't know your God. I'm out. Friend, you can't say you're out forever. There's a day coming. This life is but a vapor, is what the Bible says. And I feel like the older I get, even at 38, I feel like my life gets faster and faster. Can't believe this week's over. Boom, it's over. Thanksgiving's going to be here. We're going to sing Christmas carols. It's done. January 1st, 2022. Here it is, but another year. It's done. Just like that. It's going fast. And one day, teenager, you'll come to the end. One day, visitor, you'll come to the end. And if you leave this earth without his salvation, at that point, it's too late. It's over. Today, we have two ladies who are getting baptized. It's going to be really incredible here in just a moment. There's probably no one that I can remember more in a period of time being prayed for than Michelle, who's here today. I never forget, Deb, the first time you came down to my office. But Steve, you were here, and y'all said, we have this friend. You have any books we can give her? Man, we were praying for her. We want her to come, but we want her to know Jesus the way we know Jesus. Man, I gave some books. I wrote Michelle down and just began to pray for Michelle. And then Michelle showed up. She has this whole group of girls that's always around her, the twins. And they're always here, always faithful. She kept showing up, kept showing up, kept showing up. And I'll never forget one day getting to the end of a message. We get to the invitation. And I kind of peek up. And there Michelle went with a couple ladies. And that day, Michelle's life was forever changed. Michelle, you know as well as I do, you don't have to look back. Your past mistakes are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's done. It's over. You're a new creature. You get to move on. You get to know him like we know him. You get to fellowship and have that joy of Jesus Christ. Say, well, I know Michelle, she's not a perfect person. None of us are. Like, I think it's kind of clear now. Let's get over that. We're not. But friend, we serve a perfect God. And that God sent his son, and he died for every person in this room today. Every person. Christian, I want everybody to look up here for just a moment, especially all of our members. How many know of at least one person that is not saved today? I'm just going to put it in those simple terms. I know one person, they're not saved. Would you raise your hand today? Wow. Look at this. Look, raise it up. Raise it up. Let's not be shy. We're all here together. Friend, in just a moment, I'm going to ask if you raised your hand
just to come down and just right around the altar. Well, that's weird. Well, I'm not into that. That's okay. You do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to ask those of you, let's be serious for a moment. Let's come and let's pray for that one person. And I'll tell you why. Now listen, whoa, hold on. I'm almost done. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you know who you are. When there'll be people slipping out all over the place, maybe you're over here, Hildebrand's, maybe they slip out. Just slip right out behind them. Just come on down. Maybe you're in the middle here somewhere. And Miguel and Lissa, they slip out and they come down. You see somebody else just kind of peek real quick. You see somebody, you just follow them right on down here. Maybe you're over here and say, I don't want to go. Maybe you see the Burkitts and they move out and they come. You see somebody in your aisle, you just come. Maybe you see over here in the overflow, the Beamans, they step out and they come down. Brother Nate slips out. You just slip out just right behind him. Maybe you see Clay and he slips out. You just move right behind him. You say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. If I were to die today, I don't have that assurance like Michelle does. I don't have that assurance like you do, Pastor. I'm not sure what to do. Here's what you do. You just follow one of them out here and I'll be right down front here. Our assistant pastor, Pastor Dan and his wife, my wife, there'll be others up here. The Harveys, other, just right up front, you just come. Everyone else will be praying. Everybody else will be bowing their head, close their eyes. It's not like we're sitting here, ooh, what's going on? Let's take names. We're in a moment of prayer. You slip out, you come. We'll have the Schellenbergs, doesn't matter who, we will have them, and they'll take you into a side office. You can ask all the questions you want. But I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to tell you not how what we think or this is how we feel or we hope so. We hope that. No. They're going to show you from the very Word of God how you can know Jesus Christ. Did you have a bad week? Tired of climbing that ladder? Feel like you're chasing Tweety Bird and it's all fake? Time to stop now. Your Heavenly Father is behind you calling out. I'm knocking. Child, look right here. I love you. Child, stop. You're chasing nothing. At the end of life, you'll get nothing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He said, casting all your care upon me. Why? I careth for you. You want to know that today? Today is your day.